a problem if I just move down here, or would I? I'm going to do that. It feels so up here. Now I'm down here. Can you see me okay? All right. Well, I was wrestling with this morning saying, well, should I do my sermon today? Because we're in our series of What Now? And out of Psalm 37. And I felt like, boy, the message is so important. It's so good what God has to tell us in Psalm. And I don't want half of our people to miss out on that. So I thought, well, I'll go ahead and I'll give it today. And next week, if the Lord leads, I may give it again. And so, not that you're all dismissed to not have to come next week. But I just feel like it's a message I think our people need to hear and we need to hear. So be on the alert that you're getting the first edition, and next week might be the second edition. I don't know. We'll see. But we're going to do that this morning, okay? Let's pray and let's ask the Lord to guide our time. Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity to gather, even in inclement weather. Lord, when it's icy out and snowy, Lord, what a joy to gather as your people and to come and to worship you. And I thank you for Alex, Lord. I thank you for his testimony of trusting you when things are not in control. He just said, God, do what you want to do with me. And Lord, that's where we're to be. And I thank you for his witness and his testimony to that. Father, thank you for this opportunity to hear from you. Open our minds, open our hearts, O God, that we would respond to your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I don't know about you. You made it in here safely. I almost didn't. When I came this morning, it looked really just like snow out there. And I was walking across the crunch, and all of a sudden I did one of these. You know, and actually I did it twice, once going that way and once going that way. And then when Alex came in, he came out of his car and he did the same thing. And I think Scott did it a couple times. And so it's been an icy morning. It kind of unsettles you in a way. When you change up the schedule, and it's just different, isn't it? But that's okay. But I'm an S-type personality. We like everything to just, you know, no surprises. Let's just go ahead and go like that. But God changes things up sometimes, and that's okay. I want to thank Scott Mickey and Scott Hollingsworth for going outside today and shoveling and throwing some dirt on the sidewalk so we wouldn't slip and fall. I appreciate that, you guys. Yeah, you can give them a hand. That's awesome. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Okay, I may only get to a part of my sermon because there's so much. And my wife said, Dwayne, you have 4 pages. That's too much. You better make it a little shorter. So I'll keep an eye on the clock, but it's so good. Last week, we began our What Now series from Psalm 37. So I'd like you to turn to Psalm 37. And I asked the question, what do we do when we're going through the challenges of transitions and change, both personally, as we do? Some people have shared with me some things in their lives that have been going on recently, and there's some big changes coming into their lives. And what do you do in those transitions time? Obviously, for us as a church, we're in a time of transition, and that can be hard. The question is, what do you and I do as we go through these things, and with our church family, individually and church family at First Baptist Church? Things are going to be different. And like I told you, I don't like different. I like the rut. I like keeping things the way it is. But things are going to be different in the days and the months to come. In addition to that change, we recognize in our culture, and you have been aware of that, that we live in a rapidly changing society where the church is becoming a little more irrelevant in people's eyes, or marginalized, even less tolerated in its views and values than ever before in our history in America. It's just different. And it's changing a lot, and we seem to be traveling on unfamiliar terrain and territory, and that can be really unsettling. It can be alarming, it can be confusing, disorienting. So how do we respond? How do we, as we gather together the believers at First Baptist Church, how are we going to live out our faith during a transitional period of time, in both in our lives personally, in our church, and in our culture? And last week, we were reminded that Psalm 37 has the answer. And so David, who wrote this psalm, certainly experienced a lot of these things in his life: painful losses, unexpected victories, devastating defeats, failures, perplexing encounters in his life. And as you think back to David's life, you can remember a lot of those incidences that took place in his life. It's through his experiences and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that we're given the answer to these questions in Psalm 37. What do you do when the wicked seem to thrive? What do you do when things do not seem to be going well for you? What do you do when you're tempted to quit or to cave or to give up, become discouraged or dismayed by the changing of events in your life, in your church, or in your culture? I want to read for us just Psalm 37 again, just those first few verses. Drink this in. Listen to what God has to say. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. And he goes on, and he says very similar things. And the question is for David is, who is going to inherit the land? Is it going to be the Israelites, the people of God, or is it going to be the wicked? And the wicked seem to be winning at different times in David's life. And he asks the question, you know, what do you do in that situation? And in the times that he has time to meditate and think upon the Lord, God gave him these words, and he penned them, he wrote them down. And this was an answer to his question, who's going to win? What do you do when the wicked seem to be thriving and surviving? What do you do when you're going through difficult times? And last week, the first thing we said to do was what? Does anybody remember? Do not fret. Would you say that with me? Do not fret. Okay? That was the first one. And by the way, you have a sermon outline today. It's in your bulletin. Why do we not fret? We were reminded last week that there's no reason to fret. There's no reason to worry for two reasons. One is that because the wicked won't last for long. It said, for like the grass, they will soon wither. And I love what it said later on in one of the verses. It says, but the wicked will perish, verse 20. The Lord's enemies will be like this beauty, like the beauty of the fields. They will vanish, vanish like the smoke. What a beautiful picture. And so we don't need to fret because the wicked are only going to last for a season. All right. The second reason is we don't fret is because of God's steadfast love and faithfulness to you and His church. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake His faithful ones. And all through this passage, you see different sections where it talks about God is faithful. He will not let you stumble. He will not let you fall. He will be with you. He will go before you. And so that's the reminder of don't fret. Patty was talking to me this morning. She said in her notes from years ago, she had a little remark, something to the effect that not fretting is the first step. Is that how it went, Patty? Okay, so. Yes. So when you fret, it breaks the cycle. In the next few weeks, we're going to go over every one of those little phrases. There's the series. And the phrase is going to be, today it's trust in the Lord, next week, or maybe it'll be the same next week. Next week, it's do good. And then later on, he says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he gives you the desires of your heart. He goes on to say, commit your way to the Lord, be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Those are all powerful truths, and I want us to remember those. That it all starts at the very beginning by not fretting. If you and I are going to fret and to worry, you know what? It will knock off trusting in the Lord. If you're fretting, get so worried, it'll knock off and you won't be effective in doing good. If you fret, it will prevent you from delighting yourself in the Lord. If you fret, it will keep you from committing your ways to the Lord. If you fret, it will keep you from being still. You'll be so worried and full of angst that you can't wait on the Lord and be still and wait patiently for Him. So the greatest thing we need to do to start this whole thing as we go into transition is to go before the Lord and say, God, I am choosing not to worry. I am choosing not to fret. In your personal situation, whatever you're going through, and several of our people, it's amazing in our church how many people are going through some very serious physical things going on in their lives. And the very first thing that we have to do is to come to the point where we say, God, I'm going to choose not to worry. Worry is a choice. It is a choice. And Jesus, we reminded last week, he rebuked his followers and he said, you guys, don't worry. Your Father knows the birds of the air and he feeds them and they have all they need. They don't store up in barns. The Lord will take care of you. Don't you think you're more valuable than the birds in the air? And you are. And so Jesus was rebuking, saying, you know, worry is an expression of unbelief. And so the first thing we really need to do is to go before the Lord and say, God, I'm going to choose not to fret. Sometimes we might even have to say that. As you're walking along and you have those feelings of anxiety or fear and you start to worry, I think it starts with us saying, Lord, I'm beginning to worry right now and I'm going to choose to trust you and not to fret. And that's what God wants us to do. And that was in last week's message. But today, we get more counsel from the Lord. What do you do when the wicked thrive, when things are difficult, when there are changes going around you? Look at verse 3. Very simple. Little simple phrase. Hard to do. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. What does it mean to trust in someone? It means that we're going to put our confidence in them. When my kids were little, we would go to the pool, and Ryan would be up there on the pool side, and I'd be in the water, and he was going to jump, and he was a little afraid to do that. And I'd say, jump, Ryan, trust me. And man, after a while, he would just go. He would just fly out there, and he would trust me. He had confidence that Daddy would catch him. Not so much Andrew. All right, Andrew would sit on the side, and I think it's a personality thing, and I'd say, Andrew, trust Dad. Mm-mm. And he would not jump. Okay? He didn't have confidence in Dad. Or maybe didn't have confidence that he would float in the water. I don't know. But to trust someone is to put your confidence in them. Because you know them, you know that what they say they will do it. And it's interesting, the word confidence, the middle part of that, fides, means faith. And the word before that, the compound word con, means with. And so confidence means with faith. It means much faith, strong faith. And that's what God is saying for us. Put your faith, strong faith, in the Lord. And while we go through a season of change here, and we live in the midst of a culture where things are changing all the time, it is time for confidence. It is time to trust. Now, it's a time to show great confidence and great trust, but it's not enough just to show great confidence and trust. Yeah, I'm going to trust. I'm going to have belief. I'm going to trust. No, it's not enough to have trust or great trust. The question is, who are you going to put your trust in? The prophet Jeremiah answered that question. Jeremiah was preaching and speaking to the Israelites. They had just turned their backs on God for years. And God says, I'm done with you. I'm going to bring the Babylonians in, and I'm going to cart you off, and you're going to be carted off to Babylon, and you are going to be exiles. No longer are you going to have the temple sacrifices. No longer are you going to have the priesthood. No longer are you going to be in the land like I told you would be. No longer are you going to have a king over you, an earthly king. No longer are you going to have my presence in the sense that I will be in the Holy of Holies. It's all done. And Jeremiah is telling them, you guys, this is going to happen. And in a few years later, it did. And many of them were carted off to Babylon, just like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Jeremiah is warning them ahead of time, says, you guys, you're done as far as being in the land. God is going to punish you. His discipline is upon you. And so Jeremiah says, here's what you need to do. He says, do not let the wise man boast in his wisdom. As you guys are about ready to get carted off to Babylon, a foreign country, foreign language, don't trust in your wisdom. Do not let the mighty man boast in his might. He says, Nebuchadnezzar is so much greater than you and his armies. Young men, do not boast in your might, in your strength, and in your power. And he says, don't let the rich man boast in his riches. Hey, you rich guys, you're going to be poor. You're going to become slaves as you're carted off to Babylon. So don't put your confidence in those kind of things. And God is saying that to us. He's saying, whatever you want to put your confidence, whether it's your strength, your knowledge, your wisdom, your power, whether it's in government, in political parties, in technology or human innovation or whatever, you can't put your trust in any of that stuff because it'll let you down every time. It's not trustworthy. Jeremiah goes on to say what you should put your trust in. He says, let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and he knows me. That he understands and that he knows me. That's what God is saying. I am Yahweh who practices. Now listen to what Yahweh practices. I am Yahweh who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. So what God is saying, he says, in these things I delight, declares the Lord. So what God is saying through the prophet Jeremiah to the people, the Israelites that are being carted off to exile, he's saying, you trust in me, in Yahweh, the God who is keeper of the covenant. I have been faithful. I am faithful to love. I am faithful to show justice. I am faithfulness to be righteous in all the earth. Trust in me. I am worthy of your trust. Jeremiah reminds us that the object of his faith, of our faith, matters. And he goes on to say, who is your faith in? During these times, it's time to put your faith and your trust in Yahweh. And so that's what David is saying here. David is saying, put your trust in, now in our translation it says, put your trust in the Lord. Now sometimes it is small L-O-R-D, trust in the Lord, like our master. But that's not what this is saying. If you'll notice there, all those letters are capitalized. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Whenever that is used, it means it's the word Yahweh. And so what David is saying is put your faith in Yahweh. Who is Yahweh? Yahweh is the one who revealed himself to the Israelites. When Moses was going before Pharaoh, and Moses says, God, Pharaoh's going to ask, who is this God that you represent, Moses? And Pharaoh said, who am I supposed to tell him who my God is? What's his name? What's your name? And God says, my name is I Am. meaning I am the God of reality. I am the God who always was, who is, and always will be. I am the one true God, as opposed to all the gods of the Egyptians and all the gods of all these other people. I am Yahweh. There is no one like me. And I will keep my covenant with you. And God was faithful to that. That's what David is saying here. Put your trust in the God of Israel. Put your trust in Yahweh, the great I am. Put your trust in the one who delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. Put your trust in the one who protected you when you were fearful and you're on the edge of the Red Sea and all the 2 million people are sitting there, and here comes Pharaoh's army because Pharaoh's army changes his mind and the people are in fear. God says, trust me, Moses. And so Moses sticks his rod in the Red Sea and it parts and they walk across, as you know, on dry land. And Pharaoh's army comes and they're on the other side and the Israelites are looking back, and Yahweh, the God of the covenant, the God who delivered Israel from the Egyptians, as their army is coming and they're in the middle of the Red Sea, whoosh, and God destroyed their enemy. And Israelites are on the other side and they saw that and they did not forget Yahweh for a season. They wrote about that. And they wrote about Yahweh, and all through the Old Testament, it was the record of, look what Yahweh did, how he took them into the land. And he says, go on in, I'm giving it to you. And the 10 spies say, can't do it. And the two spies, Gideon and Joshua, they say, we can do it. And of course, the people don't believe in Yahweh. They don't trust him. Even after they'd seen him do great things, they still choose to not trust Yahweh. And so they wander for the 40 years, and then they are coming into the promised land, and Yahweh opens up the Jordan River, and they walk right across. They don't even get wet. And they haven't put the stack of rocks there to remember, look what God did. He sent you into the land. Trust in Yahweh. And that's what the psalmist is telling us, to trust in Yahweh, the God of the Israelites, the God who was faithful to bring them into the promised land, the God who is trustworthy. God had a track record with Israel. And David knew that. And as he writes this psalm, he knows, put your trust in Yahweh. He is trustworthy. That's what we got to do. You know what our temptation is? Our temptation is not to trust in the Lord, especially during times when we're really going through it and we're struggling. Physical issues going on in our lives, or things going on in our culture, things going on in our families, struggles. The tendency is just to, I'm going to cave. I don't have confidence. And God says, have confidence in me. And the temptation is for us not to trust in Yahweh. Next week, I'm going to give you three reasons why you can trust in the Lord. And what do you do to trust in Yahweh during this time in your life and in my life and in us as a church? I'll give those to you next week because I'm watching the time here. But I want to leave this with you. Understand that the first thing we have to do during this time frame in our lives and as a church is to not fret. The second thing that we need to do is we are going to put our confidence in Yahweh. He is the same God back then as he is now. There are times through this process, I'll be honest with you, there were times when I said, Lord, what is going on? What are we going to do? It's hard reaching these teenagers. It's hard reaching these children at Bellevue School. It's hard reaching our culture. Times of change. God, what do you want to do? And the more you think of that, the more you can get worried and wonder, and it kind of spirals down, doesn't it? And then one thing leads to another, and pretty soon, it was back in, I think, last spring. I was just, you know, you think some things, and then people say some things, and you're starting to talk about this, and all of a sudden, it just kind of spirals down, and I caught myself, and I realized, Dwayne, you're worrying, you're fretting. And that's when I came to Psalm 37. And God rebuked me, says, Dwayne, stop fretting. You were fretting. You were worrying. It's time to trust me. And since then, I've been living in Psalm. And I've just been going for the Lord, saying, God, you are in control. This is your work. This is your church. You got a plan. And you're going to work. And you're going to do your work. And I'm going to trust you to do that. And that's what God is going to do with us as we go down this journey. I look forward to the days ahead. I do. I look forward to us saying, God, we're going to choose not to fret. We're going to choose to trust you because you are trustworthy. And so we're going to go down this journey together. And I think in the midst of this journey, we need to just live in Psalm 37. And I want to encourage you this week, as you go and you spend time with the Lord, I want to encourage you just to meditate upon Psalm 37. As you just sit there and you drink it in, it just refreshes your soul. And when you catch yourself starting to fret, say, Lord, this is the no-fret zone. I'm not going to this is going to be the no-fret zone. We are not going to worry. We are not going to fret. You know what we're going to do? The days, the months to come, we're going to trust in Yahweh. He is trustworthy. And so our prayer is going to be during the week, Lord, do not fret. I'm going to trust in you. Sometimes I mouth that out loud. It's not like the Lord can't hear me. It's more for my benefit. It's a way for me to say, God, I am going to trust you. I had to do that with Ryan. A few years ago when he was going through all of his things, medical things at Biola, and he was stressed out and he was doing way too many things and we thought it was neurological. We didn't know what it was and I flew down there and I was worried for him. And God reminded me, Dwayne, it's out of your hands. What do you think you're going to do? You're going to go down there and be a neurologist? You're going to go down there and, you know, bring healing to your son? I mean, God can heal. And the Lord just said, Dwayne, trust me with Ryan. And so I began just mouthing that prayer. If I had to do it several times during the day, I did. It says, Lord, I'm going to trust you with Ryan. You can do that with your kids. You can do that with your grandkids. You can do that with your spouse. You can do that with each other, with yourself. And so that's what God wants us to do. We are going to trust in Yahweh. And next week, we're going to look at three ways. They're powerful. We're going to look at David's life, and I'm going to storytell David and Goliath, David's situation with that, and we're going to see three things that we could do to really learn to trust God. It's good. So go to 1 Samuel 17 and read that. Read that passage of David and Goliath. It's awesome. There's some good things in there. Father, I want to thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for your word. It is so timely. It is so perfect for us. And Lord, we need to hear from you. And one of the messages that you're giving us, Lord, as a church, as your people, is that, God, we're not to worry. We're not to fret. But Lord, we are to trust in you, Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God. And so, Lord, I thank you that you are faithful, you are trustworthy. You're a God, the God, who loves justice. You love us unconditionally. Your love is long-suffering. And Lord, we can trust in you. And so, Lord, this week, would you show us areas, Lord, where we're not trusting you? Would you show us ways in which we're trying to trust someone or something else rather than really trusting you. And Lord, in these days, teach us to trust you, for you are faithful. You are Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God. Thank you, Lord, that you are trustworthy. We will trust you. We will grow through this time, for you are in control. You are on your throne, and you rule and you reign over us in our hearts, and you rule and reign over this, your church. You rule and reign over this world and this universe. We will trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Will you stand? And let's respond with the words of this song, because we need the Lord.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need. Teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Lord, I need you, oh, I need you. My righteousness, oh God, how I need you. My one defense,
Amen to that. Before you leave, if you need some prayer, Scott's going to be up here just to pray with you. And if not, I want you to go and trust the Lord Yahweh this week. He is trustworthy. Our confidence, strong confidence, is in the Lord. Father, thank you for the words of Jeremiah. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder that we are not to put our faith in the things that are temporary. But Lord, we're to put our faith in you, for you are trustworthy. You never forsake us. You never leave us. Lord, you never fail. And Lord, we're grateful that our God, the one true God, Yahweh, the Lord, that is true of you. So Lord, this week, help us in those moments when we're worrying. Lord, help us to whisper those words. Lord, I will not fret, but I will trust in you and do good. Dismiss us now in your mercy and in your grace. Lord, use us this week, Lord, to show forth the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, may we be the messengers of hope and joy because we know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.